My guest at this time is Matt Barber. He's the Vice President of Liberty Council Action and the founder of BarbWire.com. He joins us many times to talk about the debate over the definition of marriage. There's, of course, been a whole string of state-by-state decisions following last year's Supreme Court decision that have used that Windsor decision to strike down laws regarding the definition of marriage in their state only as one man and one woman. Utah was one of them, surprisingly. The state government refusing to recognize those marriages. The challenge of an earlier federal court decision went to the 10th Circuit U.S. Court of Appeals, and by a 2-1 decision on a 3-judge panel, the justices on that court basically ruled that a state may not prohibit same-sex marriage. Their quote here, Matt, is, "We hold that the 14th Amendment protects the fundamental right to marry, establish a family, raise children, and enjoy the full protection of a state's marital laws. A state may not deny the issuance of a marriage license to two persons or refuse to recognize their marriage based solely upon the sex of the persons in the marriage union." Your reaction to the logic behind the decision?
Well, there is no logic there. Why draw an arbitrary line between the two persons, and where did that come from? Marriage has always been defined as between one man and one woman in the United States, and in Utah particularly, polygamy is outlawed, as at the highest level, the Supreme Court. So what possible rationale is this to say that it is narrowly tailored to two persons? That came out of left field, literally. But what's interesting, this is the highest court that has looked at this issue yet, of whether or not states have a fundamental right to define marriage according to the public policy and of the states, kind of the federalist approach. And what's interesting about this particular case is that it runs afoul of what the United States Supreme Court ruled in the DOMA decision that struck down Section 3 of the Defense of Marriage Act. What most people don't realize, Justice Kennedy there being the swing vote, it was a horrendous decision, and the hubris is astounding for him to imagine that he can somehow redefine the institution of marriage for federal purposes. But he argued from a federalist standpoint and said unequivocally, and in the majority decision as well as in the dissent decision, agreed that states have a right to define marriage. Now, I don't agree with that, I think that is, again, out of left field. Clearly, you cannot redefine the institution of marriage. It is, by definition, between a man and a woman. But this string of rogue judges who have now come down, now including these two judges on the Tenth Circuit, are really swimming upstream against even Justice Kennedy's ruling. And so, ultimately, we will be all eyes will be on Justice Kennedy when this inevitably makes its way to the Supreme Court. And right now, this Utah case is the one that is at the front of the pack because it has been heard by a federal court of appeals, the Tenth Circuit, so it is most likely the one that will be heard before the Supreme Court. So it's ultimately going to come down to that. The homosexual activists are celebrating and the leftists are celebrating, but this is not a final decision by any stretch.
Two quick follow-ups on that. First of all, how fast do you think this will get to the Supremes?
There's no way of knowing. My hope would be that around sometime this time next year, next June, that we would be hearing something. Now, they may have to rule pretty quick because there has been an emergency stay, and that's the good news, is the Tenth Circuit has granted a stay on this so that we don't see all the homosexual activists clamoring to the courthouses to get their marriage certificates. But I think within a year, we will have a final disposition on the Section 2 of the Defense of Marriage Act, as well as whether or not there's somehow a constitutional right for a man to marry a man or a woman to marry a woman, something, of course, that the founding fathers couldn't have even conceptualized.
You mentioned earlier that Justice Kennedy is kind of the key factor in all this, assuming the makeup of the court remains the same, at least ideologically, between now and then. As you mentioned a moment ago, he's the one who gave the states the right to define marriage how they want, but he's also the one who said that the only possible reason for opposing same-sex marriage is essentially bigotry. So what do you expect from him?
Yeah, well, that's right. He's speaking out of both sides of his mouth here, and so will he. You know, will it ultimately? Will he determine that there is animus in the states that are, you know, defending a natural marriage, or do they have a right to do so? And the court, the Ninth Circuit, the highest level that has looked at homosexuality, has said that it does not reach strict scrutiny. And in fact, in the High Tech case, this is the highest federal court that has ruled on homosexuality, whether or not it's a suspect minority class. They have said, no, homosexuality is behavior. It is not an immutable characteristic. That's a quote. So there's hope here yet, but again, with Justice Kennedy, there's no telling. You might as well flip a coin.
Wow. Matt, we'll leave it there. Thanks very much for your time.
My pleasure, anytime.
Matt Barber is Vice President of Liberty Council Action. He's also the founder of BarbWire.com. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.